Your faithfulness continues through all the earth.
Good morning, Mission Woods.
All creation.
My little Robin Williams moment there. We are so glad you're here with us this morning, either here in person or online. We have, for those of you that don't know, battling the COVID bug. So we have the Reverend Dave Brown with us this morning. We're so thankful that you jumped in at a moment's notice. So, grab a seat. Would you like to come up and read the song for us? Okay.
Sick I heal, and for you, Jesus, we all fall. Shh, I'm going to talk now.
I was admiring the pretty simple.
So I'm going to read Psalm 27. And this was written by David. We all know who that is. The Lord is my light and my salvation. When shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord is only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At the sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes or false witnesses, or false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Spirit in this place. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Make this place a holy place. Fill us with your glory as you shine upon each face. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Time to stand up if you're able, and we're going to be doing our praise songs.
Thank you.
we're going to be singing Shout to the Lord.
There we go. I know. Forgot to bring this back to my seat with me, so I didn't get it set up. All right. This morning's message for the children comes from, the title is called A Birthday Celebration, and the theme is the day of Pentecost. The scripture comes from Acts 2, 1 through 21, and we're going to have a celebration today. So let me show you what kinds of things we might need for a celebration. Balloons, maybe, well, since we're kind of talking about birthday, maybe a birthday cake and some presents. So it'll be like a party. Now, there might be somebody out there that it may be their birthday today, or it might be their birthday soon. But that's not why we're celebrating today. Today is the celebration of the birth of church, the day that the church really got its start. We call that day Pentecost. It's when we remember the day when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to his people, just like Jesus promised he would do. These birthday party items are going to help us remember what happened in the church on the day of Pentecost. They will also remind us that the Holy Spirit is still at work in the church today. So up there you see balloons, and I got some balloons here with me. And these balloons are kind of flat and lifeless. Somebody actually has to breathe life into them. So bear with me here. Whew, that's pretty good after COVID. So now the balloon has a little bit of life. The Bible tells us on the day of Pentecost, the followers of Jesus were all together in a place, and suddenly they heard a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. We are here today waiting for the Holy Spirit to fill this place and breathe new life into us, just as Christ did in the church. We also see our candle down here in front of us, our worship candle. We light it to remind us also. We will light the candle and remind us of the day of Pentecost and the little tongues of flames of fire that rested upon each of the disciples and the people that were there, that filled them with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in tongues and other languages. Just as that day on Pentecost, we need the Holy Spirit to come and light our fire and give us the power to do things that will bring the glory of God. So what is the celebration gift that we get? On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit gave us, the early church, the gift of forgiveness, truth, and new life. And it gives us a better way to live. As we celebrate the birth of the church, let us remember that the Holy Spirit is still alive and works in us all today, just like the people in the early church. Will you pray with me? Dear Father, thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit to help us to remember that the Holy Spirit still fills this church with its power today, just as he did on the day of Pentecost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are we ready? Okay.
Just making sure.
Father God, I thank you for your unconditional love, for the scriptures that allow us to know you better. I ask you to give Dave everything he needs to deliver the message that you have for us today. I ask you to open our hearts, our minds, and everything we need to receive the message, apply it to our lives. I ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. 3 days ago, I had no idea I would be here, and I'm glad to be with you all. Quite literally, I was watching a Mariner game, getting ready to entertain guests for dinner, when I got a phone call, and they said, could you help this church out? And I just said yes. The sermon was put together quickly yesterday morning, and I want to start by reading the scripture for Pentecost, Acts 2, the first 21 verses. Listen for God's word to you. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind or an escaping wind from balloons. Wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout people from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one heard them speaking in their own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in their own native language?" And now the list of names: Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "People of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known for you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, on my men servants and my maid servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vaporous smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and manifest day. And it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Acts 2, 1 to 21. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God around us and the word of God within us, thanks be to God. As Lance reminded us, this is known as the birthday of the church. 3 weeks ago on Sunday, I was in a very different church. I was on the Isle of Iona in Scotland with Anne and 10 friends. We worshiped Sunday morning at the Ancient Abbey Church, and it was a powerful experience. To think that in 560, St. Columba came from Ireland to Iona and created a Christian monastic order rooted in a Celtic approach to Christianity. And here we were so many years later worshiping in that space. In Celtic Christianity, the sign for the Holy Spirit is not a gentle dove. And since I'm not wearing a robe, I brought this anyway. But in Celtic Christianity, it's the wild goose. Celtic Christianity believes that the Holy Spirit, like a wild goose, can't be tamed and controlled by people. And that the wild goose can disrupt things as they are, like the Holy Spirit. So I've always liked the Celtic understanding as the spirit of a wild goose, not a tame, gentle dove. I think they're on to something. So my sermon today that I literally put together 24 hours ago has kind of three main points. The first could generally be called, kind of based after a Doobie Brothers song, Taking It to the Streets. God's Spirit is poured out on all people. The second kind of main point is that the Holy Spirit is a gift, not a reward, and is everywhere. And the third is that we are called to guard each other's dreams and visions and to ask ourselves what shapes our dreams and visions. In a preview, there's a little reference to a fellow New Jersey guy, Bruce Springsteen, who talks about that in Born to Run. Please pray with me. Gracious God, within whom we live and move and have our being, focus our hearts and our minds on your word to us this morning. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Amen. The Pentecost story in Acts 2 comes in two parts. The first is the story of how the disciples were gathered in a house when the Holy Spirit descended on them and gave them the ability to speak and understand in a new way. It is a dramatic story with lots of special effects, a sound rushing like a wind or a balloon, tongues of fire, people speaking in other languages. This is no usual Friday night gathering of friends, at least not in my house. The special effects of Pentecost often grab our attention, but if we focus too much on them, we risk missing the center or the core truth of the story. In the Pentecost story, the Holy Spirit gives a fresh capacity to listen and understand. To listen and understand. That's what happens in the streets, in that room. Don't we need that gift in our time? A fresh capacity to listen to God, to each other, and to take time to understand. The movement in the story of Pentecost is important. It begins right with the disciples in a closed room being filled with the Spirit. But then the story moves to the streets of the city, taking it to the streets, where a crowd of people from all the nations of the known world were gathered. All those names I had to read. On the streets of Jerusalem, people could understand the good news of the gospel in their own way, in their own language. The message is in the movement of the story. The Holy Spirit was not to be contained in four walls or to be controlled by one national identity. It exploded onto the streets and was for everyone. For everyone gathered there, no matter where they were from, into the way of Jesus and the gift of the Spirit. God's grace is for everyone. God's grace in Jesus transcends all of our human boundaries. The second part of the Pentecost story is Peter's sermon in response to those who thought those experiencing the gift of the Spirit were filled with new wine, or perhaps in this context had spent too much time at Acorn Brewing. Peter's sermon in Acts 2 is a sermon that, especially in a first century context, celebrated the radical inclusivity of the Christian gospel. Peter uses words from the prophet Joel. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young shall dream dreams. I used to identify with that group. Your old shall have visions. That's now my group. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. They shall tell the truth. It's an amazing passage. The Holy Spirit is for everyone. Pentecost is, in one way, about the radical democratization of the Holy Spirit, the vision of an inclusive church. That's not some modern trend or modern thing. Peter preaches about it in the first century. The Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh, everyone, young, old, men, women, those held captive. The Spirit is for everyone, and the Spirit is a gift. Stay with me here. In the story of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, which I sort of understand as the animating power of God, is not part of a transactional experience, by which I mean if you do this, you get that. No. That's not how it works. The Spirit is a gift. It's not a reward for believing the right way, engaging in the proper ritual, or doing the right thing. In the story, the people are in the streets picking up a few things at the market, going to Costco, when all of a sudden, bam, the Holy Spirit happened to them. Thinking about it in a musical way, perhaps Pentecost is less about the chant, "Come, Holy Spirit, come," and maybe more about the old hymn, "Open my eyes that I may see." It's here. Do we recognize it? The question behind Pentecost is not how we invite the Spirit, or in a broader way, how we invite God into our lives, the sacred into our life and the world. Instead, the question is, are our eyes open so we can see God's already here? The Spirit is already present. Do we recognize the signs of the Spirit, the traces of the Holy present in our world and in us? Do we take time to see? To see the holiness all around us, and that is available to everyone on their journey? Or are we too busy looking at our little screens? I think of a poem by Elizabeth Barrett Browning that says, "Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only the one who sees takes off their shoes. The rest sit around picking blackberries." Friends, my second point is this. The Pentecost story reminds us to see. The community called church, as I understand it, is not the container for the Holy Spirit, for God. It's not where you come to consume or get God or religion. Rather, it is, among other things, a community that reminds us to be open to the way the Spirit is all around us in that common bush. To stop being so busy picking blackberries and to take off our shoes and feel awe at God's presence in the creation, in the world, and in our lives. I come to the end. The Bruce Springsteen part of the sermon. Dreams and visions. If you remember, in the passage I read in Peter's sermon to the crowds in the streets of Jerusalem, he quotes a favorite passage from the Hebrew Bible, a reminder of the Jewish roots of the Christian movement. I'll read it again. "Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young ones shall see visions, and your old ones shall dream dreams." I just really love that vision and dream line. Christian faith is about having vision and dreaming dreams and acting on them. God promises dreams and visions. Again, I can't help thinking about my fellow New Jersey native, Bruce Springsteen, who uses that line, "dreams and visions," in the great song, "Born to Run." In that song, he talks about guarding your dreams and visions. One way, part of what Ann and I do in our marriage is we try to guard our dreams and visions, support each of our unique visions as human beings. In his song, he recognizes that our dreams are sometimes fragile and vulnerable and need to be protected. And he's right. I close by saying that Peter's sermon from Joel invites us to the soul-searching question. What are your dreams and visions? What are the dreams and visions for this church? Who or what shapes your dreams and visions that Joel wrote about so long ago? Pentecost is the birthday of the church. I believe the Christian church is to be a community that participates with individuals in shaping dreams and visions grounded and trusting in the way of Jesus. It is our faith in God and our understanding of the way of Jesus, our trust in the way of Jesus, that is to shape the dreams and visions we have in the Christian household. It isn't greed. It isn't comfort. It isn't political identity. It isn't a quest for power. But our dreams and visions are to be shaped by the way of Jesus, the way of love, of compassion, and of peace. The church is a place where we enact those dreams and visions and make them flesh in our world and community. Making flesh the words we're going to say in 5 minutes in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." So, friends at Mission Woods, let us support each other, please. Let us nurture dreams and visions of a world shaped by God's shalom and the teachings of Jesus. Pentecost is about an experience of the Holy Spirit that spread way beyond four walls and enabled people to hear and experience the good news in the world. The church was born in the streets, not in isolation. On Pentecost, we are given the invitation to come out of our four walls and play in the creation, knowing that God is there. My prayer is that our dreams and visions will be shaped not by something apart from Jesus, but by Jesus. And my prayer is that at this sacred table, you and I will be nourished to make flesh our dreams and visions, grounded in faith as we live day by day. May it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's prepare our hearts for communion by singing in remembrance.
Feed the poor.
join me in the Apostles' Creed as we show our unity in Christ. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
My friends, as we come to this table and participate in a sacrament that happens all around the world, happens here, it happens on that island in Scotland, it happens underground in Ukraine, it happens as believers gather in Russia, it happens in New York City and in Korea. People come to this table and remember the way they are fed by the love of God in this holy meal. Before communion, I want to take a moment to be quiet and for you to center and perhaps think about other tables where you've been fed and felt God has been present. My friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. Women and men, boys and girls will come from north and south and east and west and sit at table in the kingdom of God. This is not the Mission Wood table. This is not the Presbyterian table. This is not the table for all those that have all the only those who have all the right answers. This is the table of grace. And our Savior invites all those who trust him to partake in this feast. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his followers, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew that he was with them. Please pray with me. Gracious God, as we partake of these simple elements, open our eyes so we know that you are on the road with us, that you are present with us. And as we take of these simple elements, ground our lives in the way of Jesus as we feed those around us. Amen. According to Scripture, he took the bread and after giving thanks, he blessed it and gave it to them. And said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this remembering me." And in the same way, he took the cup and after giving thanks, he poured it and said, "This cup is a cup of a new promise, a new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this remembering me." I invite you to take the bread. Bread for the journey, the body of Christ. Partake of it. And the cup. The blood of Christ, a sign of a new promise that God is with us. Drink ye all of it. Gracious God, as we have been nourished in this sacrament, remembering you, help us to go into the world and nourish it with your love, with hope and possibility. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is our time of offering, our time to think about not only our treasure, but our gifts and our talents and all the ways that we can serve the Lord and serve others' dreams and visions. There is a special offering for Pentecost today. If you wish to do that, mark it on the envelope if you want it to go to Pentecost. It's for youth and children. And we're going to sing Spirit of the Living God. Stand for the doxology. Thank you. It's now time for the prayers of the people. Lance, the mic's over there. We will be praying, and then we'll take some time for individual request. If it's a praise, we'll say, Lord, we praise you. And if it's a request, we'll say, Lord, have mercy. Let's start with some prayer. Father God, you tell us to not be anxious about anything, and with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present our request to you. So, Lord God, as a church family, we are offering up our praises, our concerns, and our heartfelt prayers. Does anyone have a prayer request? Oh, wait a minute. He's running up. Sharon was first. Then we'll go to Poppy.
Teresa is having her leg x-rayed tomorrow to see if it's well enough for her to start putting weight on it. So we want to pray for good results on that x-ray.
For those of you that don't know, Teresa Hansen broke her leg, her femur, and she's been in a care center because she can't put any weight on it. So, Lord, have mercy.
Prayers for the family of Wilma as she passed away, and they're all mourning the fact that she's gone.
Lord, have mercy.
Prayers for the safety for Pat. I know she hasn't been feeling well, and now John is in, I believe, the same home and has COVID. So prayers for her health and safety.
Prayers for Pastor John and for Pat, his mom. Lord, have mercy.
Prayers for everyone who has been exposed or has had COVID, for healing and for God's healing touch.
Lord, have mercy. Rita.
So just prayers for the Kester family. It's going to be a very confusing week. I've got a 16-foot trailer coming to pack up Sean's stuff on Monday to get taken away on Wednesday, and then Megan's stuff is going to get packed from a different two-container thing on Thursday, and Sean's getting in a car and driving to Kansas, and I hope he gets there with his dog. Amen.
Amen.
Busy house.
Yeah. Pretty soon, though, Rita, it will be empty, quiet. Lord, have mercy. Okay, let's continue to pray. Lord God, we pray for comfort, not only for the family of Wilma Sandsaver, but for Scott and Rayona as they had to put down their precious dog, Molly. We pray for encouragement for Joanne Schirkenbach's son-in-law, Michael, as they grieve the death of his mother. Lord, we pray for healing for Rita's brother-in-law, John, who has heart blockage and needs to be treated with medications. We pray for your healing and effective medications. Again, Lord, for Teresa and her broken leg. We pray for the testing that will have a positive result this week. We pray for Beverly and all the medical staff to help make sure that she is healthy and can heal. We pray for all those with knee pain and anticipated knee surgeries. Just give those people the strength they need to know that you are with them. We pray for Anne's sprained ankle. She's still struggling with that, and we pray for complete healing. We pray for those that are struggling with anxiety and depression and mental health issues. We just pray that they can feel your peace and your presence. Lord, we have so many people traveling. The Sandsaver family is all traveling to Montana. We've got Ruth traveling in California. We have missionaries in the Ukraine and people in Haiti dealing with social and political chaos. Lord, we just ask you to keep this world safe and help people in their ministries to be able to have their dreams and visions
of taking it to the streets. Be there, Lord. God, we just ask you to be with us. Guard our dreams and visions, and give us your love to pass to others this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lance, it's time for announcements.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank Dave for delivering the message and bringing the meal to us. Most appreciative that you jumped in at a moment's notice. It was always it's nice to have people come and support us. Where to go? Where's the announcements? The body and life of the church. There's lots of stuff. Ordination installations, June 12th, next Sunday, we are going to install deacons and elders. And then deacons also have a meeting that day at 11:30, so you're going to get installed and jump right into work. Session, we also have a meeting June 12th at 11:30, so those of you that are being sworn in, same thing, you're going to jump in and start work that day. Worship team, would you come up and do the send-off hymn?
The words to the song come from the book of Revelation, but I think they're appropriate for any time.
First, I want to thank you for the hospitality and the pleasure of being with you this morning. My friends, life is short. We do not have that long to gladden the path of those we travel this way with. So, sisters and brothers, be quick to love and make haste to be kind. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be above you, within you, and between you all now and forever. And the people say together, Amen.